Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On the sidewalk outside your apartment building, the trash collectors you see probably work for the city. Municipal workers, many of whom are union members with eight-hour workdays, and they're responsible for hauling away your residential trash. But waste thrown away by businesses must be dealt with by private companies whose workers operate under very different rules and conditions. Trucks work throughout the night, making hundreds of stops, few of which are restful. Drivers run through red lights to make up time and often fall asleep at the wheel after an 18-hour workday. Under these conditions, it's no surprise that waste and recycling work is the fifth most fatal job in America, with 82% of waste worker deaths occurring in the private sector. And the dangers of private garbage collection aren't just limited to the workers. The last fatality caused by the city's sanitation trucks was in 2014, whereas in 2017 alone, private sanitation trucks were responsible for the deaths of seven people. Joining us now is Kira Feldman, a reporter for the Investigative Fund and ProPublica, and a former part-time producer here at The Brian Lehrer Show. Her report, published last week, provides a glimpse inside the world of the waste industry, traces its history, and details the conditions of its workers. This morning, she discusses her story with us to help shed light on what's keeping private garbage companies from a clean bill of health. Kira, nice to hear your voice again. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
By way of background, why doesn't the city pick up from businesses?
Well, the city got out of the business of picking up the commercial trash in 1957. It was too much trouble, and so they turned it over to the private sector.
Too much trouble.
It's very expensive.
And you open your story by detailing a night on the route of a truck owned by a company called Action Carting. The conditions you describe are disturbing, to say the least, 10 to 14-hour days compared to the 8 for the municipal sanitation workers, 6 days a week for the private carters in this company, under pressure to make good time, driving 20 miles above the speed limit. But you're right that Action is known for taking the high road, that it's a union shop that pays its workers above average. So tell us about this company and how it represents the field.
Well, Action is the biggest private carting company in New York City. They have about 16,000 customers, and as you said, it is a union shop, so Action is better than most. You know, they have safety meetings, they provide workers with high visibility gear, but still workers are under enormous pressure to get their routes done, and so as you said, that this leads to workers kind of driving on the wrong side of the street, to racing through red lights, and all kinds of things. And that if that's the high road, imagine the low road.
Yeah, and certainly I'm sure the employer is not telling them to drive 20 miles above the speed limit. So what's the kind of pressure that's different from a municipal sanitation worker that would lead an individual to make that decision?
Well, if you have hundreds of stops in a night, sometimes over 1,000 stops in a night, and you know your boss is calling you saying, "Where are you on the route? You should be done by now. This route should take you 12 hours. It shouldn't take you 14 hours." It's true that the company says that supervisors should not tell workers to rush. Supervisors shouldn't be telling them to go through red lights, but these are the pressures of the industry. And Action is a company that they have video cameras inside of the trucks, and they kind of, at their safety meetings, they've shown videos of drivers falling asleep at the wheel. And, you know, drivers have told me that, you know, they say, well, look, you know, there's a reason why people are falling asleep at the wheel. There are too many stops on this route. Workers are having to pick up too many tons in a night. The tonnage that a private sanitation worker picks up in a night far exceeds the tonnage that a municipal sanitation worker has to do in their 8-hour shift.
And it's not just that they're forced to work too much or too hard. You write about the equipment that they use also being different from the municipal trucks.
Municipal workers undergo weeks of safety training. Then, you know, there's all, you know, the trucks are in good shape, but by comparison in the private sector, I did an analysis of the 50 biggest companies in New York City, and I looked at the federal truck inspection data, and I found that after 53% of inspections by the Department of Transportation, these company trucks are pulled off the road and declared unsafe. So that's pretty remarkable. I mean, that means that, you know, the brakes don't work, the steering doesn't work. This is a garbage truck that weighs about 80,000 pounds with a load on it. You probably want the brakes to work on that thing. I interviewed workers who told stories that kind of illuminate that statistic, where, you know, they were driving on the BQE and a tire came rolling off in the middle of the highway, or the steering gives out, or the brakes give out. One worker described having to crash into a utility pole to stop his truck. So it's a lot happens on the streets of New York after dark.
Listeners, help us follow up on Kira Feldman's report for ProPublica on the private carting industry in New York City and the dangers compared to the municipal trash collection system, and dangers both to the workers themselves and to pedestrians. We'll get back to that stat in a minute or two that no New York City sanitation truck has killed a pedestrian since 2014. Seven were killed by private carting trucks in 2017 alone. 212-433-WNYC. If you've ever worked for a private waste company or work for one now, if you run a business and therefore have to deal with private carters to pick up your waste, since the city doesn't do it, for businesses that that have storefronts or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I guess the relationship between the working conditions and the dangers to the workers themselves that we've been talking about relates directly to why more civilians or, you know, pedestrians are killed by these trucks. If the trucks themselves aren't as safe and the drivers are overworked and overtired and under more pressure to do things quickly, then that's going to result in more crashes.
Right. I mean, the thing to remember about this is the length of the routes and the number of miles that a lot of these trucks are having to cover in a night. So by contrast, you have the Department of Sanitation trucks that do compact routes where, you know, the truck will go door to door. But meanwhile, on the night shift, you'll have a block. On a single block, you might have a dozen different garbage companies coming in the night to pick up the trash. So you have these kind of very spread out routes where, you know, one truck might cover up to 85 miles in a night. I got data from the city about the customers that the private companies pick up. So just to give some examples, in the five-block area near Rockefeller Center, you have 27 different garbage companies stopping at just 86 businesses. And in Midtown Manhattan, between Fifth Avenue and the Hudson River, 71 different garbage companies have stops in a 0.68 square mile area. So that's a lot of truck traffic. That's a lot of trucks crisscrossing the city overnight, and you have over 250 different companies in the city picking up the commercial trash.
Carl in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carl.
What's going on, sir? How you doing today?
Good. You have an experience, huh?
Oh yes, of course. I have a couple.
Tell us your story.
So the first thing I'd like to speak about is, you know, I've worked for maybe, I want to say, six or seven different companies. And, you know, there was, an unwritten rule that, you know, you do your job as fast as you can. And, you know, their justification for that is, you know, the city wants to go to work in the morning and the truck itself is a hazard So you want to get the truck, you know, off the road, you know, before morning rush hour. So, you know, we were encouraged to, you know, run red lights or drive on the wrong side of the street or back up one ways or maybe even drive down a one way going the wrong way. You know, by a certain time in the night, you know, you're getting a phone call every 5 minutes. Where are you? How come the route is not picked up? What do you have left? If you have too much left, now maybe they're going to send another truck to come help you because that foreman or that supervisor wants to go home. And he cannot go home until the last truck comes in. So, you know, it's a fast-paced, you know, free-for-all until someone gets hurt.
What's the solution, and, Carl?
You know, I feel that the solution is that, you know, the DOT has, you know, strict rules on how, you know, drivers are supposed to operate and conduct themselves behind the wheel. And, you know, there are already laws in effect that say, you know, a driver can't drive commercially, you know, more than 10 hours a day. So, you know, if that rule was enforced, you know, it would be a little bit safer. And, you know, if the companies understood that, you know, safety of their workers and the public is a little bit more important than, you know, the monetary value of picking up those stops with a single truck or maybe two trucks, you know, we'd be better off as a whole.
Carl, thank you so much. Alan in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Okay, I see you're a union organizer with the Teamsters. Teamsters is in this field, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a former worker. I worked on a truck for 30 years before I actually became an organizer.
What do you want to add?
Well, first of all, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, my personal experiences. I've been on a truck for 30 years, and I can tell you right now, this industry is screwed up totally. And for me being out in the streets talking to workers, the workers feel like there's nobody paying attention to them, that nobody cares about them. They've been screaming for help for years. These workers is driving tired. I could tell you personally, when you work 6 days a week and when you work 12 to 14 hours a day, and a lot of these workers are working more hours than that. There's workers that's telling me right now, to this day, they're working at companies they're working 20 hours a day, 23 hours a day. These workers are begging for help. And it's like there is nobody there to help them.
Why is it even in the company's interest to have somebody work, if this what you're saying is true, 23 hours a day rather than just hire more workers?
Okay. The reason it's in their best interest, number one, they're paying the workers a lot less than what workers were getting paid 20 years ago. That's number one. Number two, the more work that driver can pick up, the more work that's the company's going to make. You got one truck doing the work of two trucks. So that's one truck that you don't
right.
need.
So it's the number of trucks.
Driving.
Yeah, and it's not just the hourly rate.
Need.
Right, right. Gotcha. Now, I understand from Kira's article that the Teamsters are supporting a push for a zoning policy on private trash collection that Mayor de Blasio supports. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Do you want to say something about it and what it would accomplish?
Well, I support it 100%. Number one, it's going to cut down the truck miles. And that's, you know, for a driver, that's very important because I can tell you right now, I used to work 6 days a week, and about 6 o'clock in the morning, these drivers are dead tired. If a driver told you that they wasn't dozing off around 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, they're not telling you the truth. All private sanitation drivers go through it. We're overworked, and on top of that, we work 6 days a week. So you're taking a tired driver, and you're working him 6 days a week. By the time he goes home on his day off, goes to sleep, and wake up, it's time to go back to work. And that's, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
Come 7 o'clock in the morning when these kids are going to school, that's what you have littered throughout this city. You have a fleet of private sanitation trucks with sleepy, tired drivers every morning while these kids are going to school.
Alan, I have to go, but I really, really appreciate your call. And Kira Feldman, we only have a few more minutes, but can you tell us more about this zoning proposal that the mayor is behind and what that's intended to accomplish?
Sure. So in August 2016, the de Blasio administration released a study that recommended what's called zoning or exclusive franchising. This would divide the city into zones where a company would make a bid to collect all of the commercial garbage from all the businesses in the given zone. So the city would pick the winner of that. So according to the study, which was done by the Department of Sanitation and the Business Integrity Commission, zoning could reduce truck traffic by up to 68% and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 64%. So a handful of other cities, including Seattle, San Jose, and Los Angeles, have implemented zoning. This is going to be many years in the works in New York City. Right now, consultants are studying it. The exact number of zones are yet to be determined. Los Angeles has 11, for example. And one thing that's interesting about zoning is that, right now you have a patchwork regulatory system where, you know, you have all these different city, state, federal agencies responsible for a different piece of the equation. But under a zone system, a city could say that a bid is tied to all whatever benchmarks it wants. So the city could say that in order to win a bid, you have to pay a living wage, you have to meet, safety standards of one thing or another, your trucks have to be in this condition, and really whatever the city wants to do. So the industry is very opposed to this because right now you have, some 250 companies in operation. And while the exact number of zones in New York City are to be determined, that would mean that it would put a number of businesses, that not everyone would be able to win a bid.
Right. It would be musical chairs. What is there a more direct way to improve safety in the industry just by more strictly regulating the number of hours or the number of truck miles?
Well, the problem with this patchwork oversight system is that there's actually no city agency that's directly responsible for overseeing worker safety. You know, so you have OSHA, which is a federal agency that has only about 67 inspectors in the entire state of New York that's tasked with, overseeing all of worker safety for the millions of New York workers in the state. The problem with that is that, there's only so much that all of these agencies can do. You know, the Department of Transportation is out there doing, truck inspections. But as I found, the 14 of the 50 biggest companies in New York City hadn't been inspected by the Department of Transportation even once in the last 2 years.
That's City Department of Transportation?
That's the State Department of Transportation.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot before we go. When the mayor is on the show tomorrow, is there any follow-up question about this that you would love me to ask him?
I would like you to ask him what kind of worker protections for safety as well as wages are underway. Because, right now you have companies that are paying, $80 a night or $120 a night. You know, wage theft is prevalent in this industry. So, if the city does end up going through with zoning, how will the city make sure that it's, safe and that workers are paid properly and given the respect they deserve?
Kira Feldman, reporter for the Investigative Fund and ProPublica. Her report, published last week, provides a glimpse inside the world of the private carting industry in New York City. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.